Well, we're in the fourth chapter there of Deuteronomy. It's quite a long chapter. We'll see how we go this evening. It might be in the Old Testament, but it's relevant to us today, you know. What are you thinking? I was going to say, I might be old, but... Oh, it's in the old... Oh, no, I wasn't picking on you. All right, well, we better pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and thank you that we can find this great book of yours, Lord, and that we can crack its pages and... You know, and open it, and your voice reverberates, Lord, through your scriptures to us. And we want to hear you, Lord. We want to be the ones that are listening, Father, the ones that are obeying, Lord, your voice. And we would be far from you if it wasn't for the sound of your voice, Lord, to our hearts and calls us. Which calls us into repentance, Lord. You're so merciful to us, Lord. And thank you, Father, for being with us, not only here tonight, but, you know, as we've received you, Lord, and we've received that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And thank you, Father, that we have you always and that you've never forsaken us either. So we're so grateful for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, Moses continues his quest to teach the next generation of Israelites, you know, to the ones that are, in a sense, going into the promised land there. So in his quest here to teach them, of course, he wants to remind them and give them some examples and of what life was like outside of obedience. And, you know, we should take note, you know, in our own lives, you know, we know what it means when we're disobedient to the Lord and the repercussions of it all. And, you know, just, but, you know, he's a God of mercy, and I'm thankful for that he doesn't just discount us when we screw up, when we do something that's out of order. But that he continues to call us back into a relationship with him. And so here is Moses, you know, in chapter 4 here, giving commands to the, reminded them of what he did back in chapter 20 or so of Exodus, and really farther than that, through Exodus and the wilderness experience, and just reminding them, this is what your fathers have went through, and just remember this, you know, remember this when you go into that land. You know, he's trying to prepare him for going into a land and, you know, sometimes when we receive a gift from somebody, we get almost consumed by the gift, don't we? At some point, oh boy, we're so excited about the brand new car that Steve gave me, and I'm just so thrilled, you know, and so forth, right? And he's given everybody in the congregation that, so don't worry. It's not just for me. But we're so thrilled with the gift that sometimes we get so sidetracked by it that we forget who gave it to us, you know, and I think that's important here, because as they enter into the land, Moses, that's what happens when you go from Sunday mornings in Corinthians to the Old Testament, Moses. But Moses reminds them, hey, you know, just remember the giver, right? Remember that he gave you this land. And we should never forget that. So let's read verses 1 through 4 here. And again, we'll just go through it as we usually do, right? Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe. that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did in Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are given today, or your God are alive today, every one of you. So here's an example that he gives here, and he says, first of all, in verse 1 there, listen, right? Listen. So often do we want to speak without listening to the Lord. So often do we want to do without listening to the Lord. And it's important that we do, that we listen. And the result here is that you may live, that you may go in and you may possess this gift that God is going to give you. So listen, you know. And of course, in verse 2 there, he gives a stipulation to the aforementioned blessing, right? The blessing of the promised land. But hold it. Wait a minute. There's a stipulation to this. You know, there's a stipulation. Don't add to the word. Don't add to the word. And if anything, we see this so abundant today, people adding to the word, or, you know, it says don't take from the word. You know, don't take it out of the word either. There's things like that that we need to be careful of. You know, when we don't add to the word, it produces legalism. It produces a whole bunch of man's traditions, right? And all of a sudden we're so enthralled on that tradition that we're upkeeping, right? That we forget again the Lord God, you know, and his commandment, what this truly meant. You know, and so sometimes we take a command of God and we elaborate on it, and we make it, in a sense, I don't want to say it's more, we kind of tend to make it more than what it really was meant for, you know. And sometimes we get into this legalism and so forth, you know, like, you know, head covering and so forth, you know, in the church, you know, that we don't need to do that. We're under the head, right? We're under Christ. But sometimes you go to a church, man, every woman better have their head covered. They take it very, you know, literal there. So the traditions of man, and of course this idea of not adding to the word is, we saw that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 18 through 19, right, as well. Don't take away. Don't take away from the word. You know, I don't like this portion. This portion of scripture just rubs me the wrong way. So we'll just negate that. Well, that's taken away from the word, right? When we don't give the full counsel of God, and well, there's reasons why we don't give the full counsel of God. Because when people hear the full counsel of God, they start leaving the church. Well, we don't want that, so we negate that. We don't preach that message, you know. So, you know, we have to give the good, bad, and the ugly kind of thing, right? We got to give the full counsel of God, and we've got to take it for what God meant it to be. And sometimes it's corrective. Sometimes it's encouraging, you know. Sometimes it's very uplifting, right? Other times it can be a downer, according where you are in your walk with the Lord, where your life is, right? It can... But it's challenging, you know. It challenges us to step away from sin back to the Savior, right? So if we would only understand that our obedience is good for us, obeying the scriptures, right? So listen, but not just listen, but obey. right? It's not just about, well, I heard that, and that's good enough. It's about taking that, what you have brought into your being, that you hear, that you've learned, and actually put it into practice. And that's always the challenge. That's always a challenge of teaching the scriptures. It's always a challenge of making scriptures practical for myself, for you guys. It's always that challenge. But when we're reading, when we're going through our devotionals, we should always be, in a sense, programmed to say, Lord, what do you want me to take from this? What do you want me to hear? Lord, I'm listening, but what do you want me to hear? You know, because let's face it, we've all been through it, right? When we sit down, we do our devotions, we walk away, and we forgot everything that we ever read, right? Or maybe we have a favorite teacher, and we, you know, I like to listen to Joe Foch, right? I pop on his devotions, I hit it, and I'm in my work day already, and I'm not listening. You know, I'm not listening to the Word of God, and it's only 3 minutes long. You know, so we need to be hearers of God's Word. You know, there's great reward in that. So Paul identifies Baal Peor here. It was a place of which Israel's past was of disobedience was evident, and it had consequences. They had committed harlotry, both from a physical standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint. They worshipped the gods of Moab there. They bought in to the gods of Moab. It wasn't just I glanced at that god. It was that they actually bought into it. The false gods, as I think it was Paul said, the gods that weren't, you know, in a sense, there's gods out there that aren't even gods, you know, and we buy into it. And of course, God was angry, and he destroyed those that pursued those gods, and those who were, in a sense, unfaithful to God. You know, that was a harlot, right? Toward gone. Those faithful to God, it says in verse 4 there, but you who held fast to the Lord God, your God, right? Those that stuck close to God, those that worshiped him, that perhaps it wasn't the easiest of times. Maybe it was very, very difficult. Maybe we can't even imagine how difficult it was, right? But they held fast to him. Like, I'm not giving into this. I'm not giving into the pressures of this world. I'm not going to follow after that, you know? Instead, I'm gonna hang on to the Lord, you know? Stay fast and steadfast in the Lord. And that they were, because of this, it says, alive today. The evidence that you have stayed steadfast is that you're alive today. The evidence that you yourselves are steadfast is that you're here tonight, right? That you're listening tonight, right? So here we are physically. There's people online, right? The reason why we are who we are, right, today is because we're steadfast. We didn't get swayed by the world thinking, you know? And then there's others that aren't so steadfast, that have been swayed by the other gods, have pursued those things of the world you know, outside the will of God. So, in a sense, you know, sometimes we say, well, it's not good to dwell in the past. We've heard that, right? But Moses is saying to these guys, I want you to dwell in the past for a moment. It's not like you settle there, right? You settle there. But it's that you remember there. Remember what happened? I mean, think about this. This is after, I don't know, 38 years of being in the wilderness, and Moses is getting upwards to death, right? He's telling him, he's giving him the last great speech, right? And he's saying, I want you to remember this stuff because it's going to be helpful later, you know? So, you know, sometimes we have to remember these failures. In fact, we know that in Joshua 7, that Israel enters the promised land, and their first battle there, their first military loss really is documented there at Ai. And it was specifically because of disobedience, right? Of a man named Achan. So he's laying some, it's not going to be long. I think Bob said it on Sunday, right? You know, that Moses was laying the groundwork for obedience, but it wasn't going to be long before you know, and picture that, you know, how many times have you said, I'll never disobey the Lord in this. I'll never go that way, you know? And then all of a sudden we're like, well, how did I get here? You know, how did I get here? And so, you know, it's very easy to fall if we're not on our game, you know, if we're not on the guard, you know, because look at Satan doesn't sleep, you know. His demons don't sleep. You know, the enemy doesn't sleep. But the Christian sometimes does. We get a little relaxed, you know. We think, you know, I got something better to do this morning. I don't need to get into God's Word. I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Right? And then all of a sudden, it becomes this snowball. And all of a sudden, the snowball's too big. Can't even move it, you know. You ever got there where you're building a snowman? You're like, I built this one too big. This is going to be definitely going to be the bottom, right? So you go build the middle because it just got too big. But that's how it happens. And it's a progression, right? It's not like you walk outside in a snowstorm and bingo, you got a snowball, right? No, you got to roll it and roll it and roll it and roll it and freeze and freeze and freeze, and then it melts. And all that work is gone, but... You know, but, you know, so these things that, you know, we read even here are a good reminder to us. It keeps us from falling, you know, it keeps us steadfast, you know, because steadfastness isn't easy. It's not like, hey, yeah, boy, he's a steadfast guy, you know, man. I wish I could be like that. Well, you can. You just got to draw into the Lord. You got to seek Him. You know, that's the wonderful thing when we get to see before we get saved, we don't seek the Lord. You know, even though a lot of these seeker-friendly churches think that people actually seek the Lord, they don't seek the Lord. They seek the desires of the flesh, right? They seek after their own desires, and they don't seek the Lord. But once He has us, and the Holy Spirit is within us, then we get to seek Him. It's a privilege that we don't have outside of Christ. You know, He draws us in. We accept Him. He puts the Holy Spirit within us. Then we become seekers. See, the modern church has it all wrong. There's no such thing as seekers, except for a Christian seeker. We get to seek the Lord. Say, oh, you know, I wonder what the Lord says on this. You know, I wonder what the Lord's got for me today in the next batch of scriptures here. So anyways, verse 5 through 6 here. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding nation. So God gives these commands back there in Exodus, in the wilderness. And now they are still the same as they enter the gift of the Lord, the promised land. So, you know, God's commands didn't change. He didn't, you know, Moses didn't have to go up on the mountain for the third time and get him. You know, did they change this time? They never changed. They never changed from one to the other occurrence that he went up there. And then, you know, he says, look, I've been faithful. I've been faithful to teach you. I've taught you and taught you and taught you. Your intellect has grown about God, you know, about his characters. You know, the Ten Commandments, you look at the Ten Commandments, it's really a character reference for us. You know, you ever send out a resume and you say at the bottom of your resume, references available. You hope nobody calls, right? Oh no, they called for them references. So then you got to dig up some references that you can give. Hey, can you be a reference for me? I asked a guy one time if he would be a reference for me. He said, well, you want me to be a good reference or a bad reference? Do you want the job or don't you want the job? I think he was joking. But, you know, so here are these people. He says, be careful to observe them. You know, you've been taught. You know, I don't think anybody that's been in the midst of Calvary Chapel movement really can sit back and say, I haven't been taught. Right? I've had people say, oh, I'm leaving because I didn't get anything from Pastor Larry and I haven't got anything from you, I'm leaving. What are you looking for? There's the door, you know. They came to receive something, but I don't know what it was. You know? But here, no excuses, right? You've been taught, right? I mean, there's, you know, sometimes we look at leaders and we say, wow, they are held to a different standard, you know, because they're teaching the Word of God. Well, you're held to a standard because you're receiving the Word of God, right? And we need to know that we don't have any excuses, you know. I hope you don't ever find it here where the gospel's watered down or scripture's watered down because I'm afraid to step on toes and all this stuff, right? But, you know, no excuses. I like what it says there in verse 6, the latter part there. It says, surely the great nation is a wise and understanding people, referring to Israel or referring to the other nations looking at Israel and saying, wow, right? Wow. That nation, you know, that nation, they're just a witness for God, you know. Instead, you know, they, like us, they will blow their witness, and we blow our witness sometimes too. You know, have you ever gone through that situation where you're like, man, I wish I had said something different than I said there? It wasn't about sharing even, right? It wasn't about even sharing the gospel in a sense, but it was about the way you reacted maybe to something, you know? The way your reaction came across, maybe you came across kind of nasty and angered and all that stuff, and you look back and go, boy, wish I could have gave a better witness to God, right? Just wish I could have been a little more kind to that person. Maybe told the truth in gentleness, you know? And so, so we are, you know, as we've been fed, we're, you know, and we observe the word carefully, and we have this wisdom that is given to us from God, and we have better understanding, and people certainly look towards us. Yeah, I don't know how many times that when I was in corporate America that I didn't have somebody come into my office and sit down because they knew that I was a Christian and they needed something. I don't mean a donation or anything like that. They just needed somebody to talk to, that they could, that they would know that their talk would stay right here. You know, they understood that. And so I can't tell you how many times that happened, but it happened quite a few times. You know, people just kind of, oh, wow, this guy, and, you know, not that we have something over, but we have the Lord, right? He gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding, and the world happens to see it. So I think it's important. Verse 7 through 8. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason they may call upon him? In what great nation is there that such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? All the other nations would say, wow, they are so near to God. You know, have you ever had somebody think that you had a better connection with God than they did? And it might be true because you're saved and they're not, maybe. But I've had people, will you pray for me because you're the pastor? You know, my prayers mean something much better than anybody else's, right? They forget that it's God that heals, right? It's God that takes care of the difficulties. I don't have much of a hand in it. You know, I'm kind of left out. But all these great statutes and judgments. Verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. Now Horeb is Mount Sinai. When the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear God, fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at the time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. So here's an exhortation that Moses gives the people here of Israel. The first thing he says here is, take heed. Right? Take heed. Pay attention. I think we need to say that more often. We need to pay attention. Right? And it's really for their own good, right? And then secondly, be diligent in keeping them. Right? Don't just set them on a coffee table. You know? Don't just allow them to hang on your wall. You know, sometimes you go into people's house, they got all this scripture, but it means nothing to them. Right? Keep it. Be diligent in keeping it. Right? Because that diligence really says, I really love the Lord. Right? I really love the Lord. I hope our hearts break when we disobey the Lord. I hope we crumble a little bit. You know, it's good to feel guilty sometimes, isn't it? You know, it brings us to a point where, okay, I'm going to repent from that. You know? And the Lord, you know, extends His hand, reaches out there, extends His hand of mercy, and allows us that time that we need. Sometimes we just need some time to come to ourselves, right, and say, I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. You know, when we look at the marriage of a man and woman, it so exemplifies the bride of Christ and the groom, which is Jesus, right? And how, you know, when I think of Karen and I's relationship and how I've grown through it over the years is that, you know, when I get a little frustrated or maybe I get a little mad at her, right? Sometimes I go away by myself and the Lord shows me my heart, right? And so, and that's an extension of the hand of mercy from the Lord, I think, you know, that he doesn't, and it's an extension of Karen's hand of mercy to me, because I need that time, right? The Lord doesn't go, well, you screwed up, I'm divorcing you, right? He doesn't do that. And I'm glad He doesn't do that, right? Sometimes He extends the hand of mercy and He just says, I understand, Fred, you need some time to come with the grips of this. That you need some time to come to repentance. And that mercy, the scriptures tell us, brings us to repentance. You know, so many times we say, well, I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. Right? And that's legit. But have you repented? That's what you ought to ask yourself. Well, I'm so thankful for the mercy of God, the outstretched arm of God. But have I repented? Have I made right with God on this issue? Moses, in a sense, is saying here, don't forget. Don't ever forget, you know, what happened here. You know, that it would lead you to depart, you know, from following the Lord. And they give, you know, he exhorts them here. He says, teach your children, right? Teach your children these things. Is the Word of God important to us? Then we should be teaching our kids, right? Is the Word important to us? We should be teaching our grandchildren, right? I mean, generation upon generation upon generation upon generation. It's an effect that teaching the Word of God has on generations to come. It says, especially concerning the day that you stood before the Lord on Mount Sinai. Especially teach them that. I mean, you had a wonderful experience there, didn't you? There when you first came upon the Word of God. And you thought, wow, you mean I get to be saved by grace? You mean I don't have to do anything to get saved? You mean I don't have to be the altar boy? I don't have to take the all these sacraments? No. We just need to confess with our mouth. You mean God saves me because he loves me? Right? There's some revelation here that we had. Why? Because of the Word of God. Right? And I don't think it's any different here. He says, especially at Mount Sinai, where you received the commandments of God. Don't forget to tell your children about that. Don't ever forget that. Said you were able to hear the voice of God speak. You didn't see a form. You saw nobody behind there. Hey, who's behind curtain? Who's behind that curtain there? You didn't see anybody, did you? But you heard a voice, didn't you? And so many times when we get saved, man, the Lord's been working on us for a time. And I'm not saying we hear audible voices necessarily. You could. But I heard a voice when I got saved. Right? And the voice came from the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17, right? It happens. And not only did God give them the commands there, the Ten Commandments, but he also says there in verse 13, so he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. So he established a covenant with his people. And in Exodus 24, verses 1 through 8, you can review that at some point. They enter into the covenant there. A promise to obey God. And God promised to bless them. To bless an obedient Israel. Verse 14, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the day, in the land which you cross over to possess. The teaching here that Moses was giving to the children of Israel was not to provide intellect, was not to provide a prideful heart. Like we the people, you know, we the people of God, right? We get to go into the promised land because why we the people? You know, I mean, it's like something that maybe they wore on the plaque there on their chest, you know, something special, right? But God turns the table in the New Testament, doesn't he? He said, you still have a chance, but I'm going to the Gentiles now, man. I'm giving it to the Gentiles. And us Gentiles get to go in now too. But it wasn't for intellect. But it was to take them Ten Commandments and apply them to our lives. What are we doing when we apply the Ten Commandments to our lives? We're applying the character of God to our lives. That's what we're doing. So this was in preparation to what God had promised them in the promised land. So he was preparing their hearts so that they could go in there ready to take the promised land. So I'm going to stop there. It's 8 o'clock and we're going to continue on. A lot to cover. So let's pray and eat donuts. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we just love you and give you praise and honor. We thank you, Lord, for your word and what a precious gift it is to all of us, Lord. We have such a privilege, Lord, to come together as your body and to partake in your word at your table, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your hand of mercy, Lord. Hand of mercy. And just for your, you know, for your steadfastness, Lord. Never giving up on us, forsaking us, Lord. But allowing us to come back. Allowing us to partake, Lord, in things that perhaps others wouldn't allow us to partake in. But you love us, Lord, and we thank you and praise you, and we give you the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.